not get the rhythm in.
The funny thing, or I say funny, like, no one's laughing. But
and she'll be wanting to be part of it, like John Terry, won't she?
I'd be like all over it. I'd be like Geordie Shaw, like with my four VKs between my hands, and it wasn't a twer.
Hello, welcome to Under the Lid, the pro cricket show with me, Jack Brooks,
and me, Catherine Siver-Brunt. I think a cheers is in order. Because we've made it to week four.
Week four.
I thought they would have panned us by now. But they've not panned us. We're still here. We're still going. So we better just tell you a little bit about what's coming up. And we've got a belter of a show coming up. And we've got a giant of the domestic women's game on. Bit of a Yorkshire legend. Definitely a legend in my eyes. She's also helped to shape the restructure of the women's professional cricket game, I would have you know. And she's an old teammate of mine and a proper Yorkshire lass.
Yeah, she's a fantastic cricketer. Decent leg spinner, isn't she? Have you ever faced her? Or were you on the team, same team for your whole career?
I have, and I ran past her every single time.
Excellent. She is well known. She's been around the domestic game in this country for a long time. Obviously, gun leg spinner. She's involved with the PCA. She's heavily involved with what happens in the game, particularly the women's game, and her views are very well respected within the players' union. And I'm hoping to get a little bit of goss from recent happenings in the women's game. Whether she chooses to answer our question or not is another matter. But
yeah, you'll be lucky.
We are, of course, talking about the Yorkshire Diamonds leg spinner. Katie Levick is our fourth guest.
She is. And we're also going to look at the big stories that we've had in the last week. Obviously, women's county stuff started. A bit of chat about around the restructuring of the women's game, the tier one. So hopefully we can, you know, have a look into that. But as always, we love your feedback. But we'd like a little bit more, and we'd like a few more questions, especially about Jack. So it's if you want to get in touch, hashtag under the lid or hello at underthelid.co.uk.
The Catherine Brunt podcast is brought to you in partnership with the PCA and The Cricketer, who are outstanding partners. And the coverage of domestic cricket online has been recognised for 6 years in a row at the ECB Domestic Journalism Awards. So congratulations.
Cheers.
To The Cricketer, and thank you for partnering with us. And let's make this big. Let's make this podcast go wild.
Yowch.
So what have you been up to this week, Bruntsy?
I reckon quite boring once again, but a few different topics this week. So I've bought a car, which is wild, I know. Whoa.
What but Ferrari have you got? Me. Have you got a Lambo? Or?
Oh, no, it was actually an Aston Martin. No, I downsized this time. So obviously we've been treated as England players to having what you'd call company car, sponsor car. Obviously Cinch was the one. And those deals have come to an end, unfortunately, so I can't tap off Natalie anymore.
But you can, you're married to her, so you can definitely can.
Yeah, I can definitely use her cat, which is what I have done. So I have been concentrating on that because, you know, I can't leave Nat in charge of that because it's just not good. So, you know, what's really terrible about getting company cars for that long, it's been like 9-10 years, is the no claims bonuses and the fact that, like, you just lose all that. The only benefit I have, the only benefit I have is that I'm old, so I get the age thing. I'm not,
you're not a pensioner.
No, but they trust me not to bez around the streets, crashing into things. So,
and being a professional sportsman, it costs you on insurance, but you're no longer a professional sports person.
No, that's correct. So I'm the name driver. Bring it right down. You know, as a northerner, we do like the bargains. On a separate note, I've been at Tammy's wedding. Tammy Beaumont got married last week now. I don't even know what day it is. Yeah, it was. It wasn't too crazy, but there's Scottish themes going on there through her husband Callum. So there's a bit of a crack on the dance floor. A few dance moves had to be learnt. I was tossed around by a few 6-foot-odd men. army men.
You love that.
While. Yeah, it was actually good. It's a good job I had a fair few shots at the bar. I'm not sure I would have been able to handle that. And then also, it's been bloody freezing. I don't know about you. Yeah, got my granny blanket on.
Nice.
At my sister-in-law's house down in London this week. Mega freezing. She must be as tight as me because it's freezing in here. So I'm sure all the cricketers have been freezing this week too. But what have you been up to, Jack?
Yeah, my lips are getting hammered by the weather, the cold wind when you're watching or coaching it. You can't just sit inside like a player and try and keep warm. You've got to be outside doing your bit, haven't you?
You are. Yeah,
busy. I got a call from Alex Stewart a couple of weeks ago asking what I was up to and if I was interested in getting involved with coaching at Surrey, which is unbelievable, really, seeing as where they are at the minute in the game and the players they've got. So I was down at the Oval last week for a couple of days with all the squad.
Lovely.
And then on the Thursday, it was just a few of the twos lads after the ones had popped off to Canterbury. So I was helping coach a few of the twos lads with Chris Taylor from Surrey Academy. He was leading it, and a couple of the pathway lads as well. So maybe getting a bit more work with Surrey going forward, helping us support the bowlers, particularly in the second team. So that's amazing, really. It's going to be just really good fun and really insightful for me to be involved with a club like Surrey and the players I got. And then I was back to with the SACA, the South Asian Cricket Academy, this week. I'm currently in Chelmsford in an Airbnb because we are playing a game against a combined Essex and Kent second team. It was day two of a three-day game today, and it was really cold and a little bit wet and windy, very windy. We are playing Billericay, which is well known for being a windy ground. So the lads have been playing well, managed to get some good playing. I've enjoyed the week so far. I can get back home tomorrow night to my little one. But I've been nursing a bit of a stiff body because I played on Sunday in a couple of 2020s for Oxfordshire, my home
big,
county.
Big mistake or?
No, well, it was because I was I was bloody I haven't bowled for a few weeks. I was doing really well.
You'll get the rhythm in.
And now I just haven't got any rhythm and I'm old and it takes a while for it to come back. And these young lads just whack it. So we played, I was playing for Oxfordshire in a couple of warm-up friendly games against the Oxford University UCCE team, who I've been coaching all winter. So I was copping it all day as well. And the young lads just whopped me everywhere. Because
showed you up?
A little bit, to be honest, yeah. Not going to lie. I am past it. And I've committed to play for Oxfordshire in the T20 competition for the National Counties. So I'm back at Wormsley this Sunday against Shropshire for the first proper day. And they're back-to-back as well. Nice. I don't know if you ever played back-to-back T20s in the same day. It's hard work.
I have. Us women know all about that. I think some of the Aussies used to do back-to-back ODIs, not in the same day, but, you know, like Friday, Saturday, Sundays.
Three in a row.
You just got to do it when you can. Yeah, absolutely minging. But,
two in a row was bad enough. Three in a row is
well, if there's no money in it, you've just got parents who've got to drive you down on the weekend and then you make the most of it. Go for it, gals.
And then just get smoked in the evenings. Excellent.
Yeah, lovely.
Right, enough about us. Shall we crack on with the guest?
We should. And I think it's time we get under the lid.
I'm really excited to speak to Lev. I'm hoping she provides some little gems after a big week. But it's going to be a very interesting one, I know that. So, should we get her in?
What a character, and here she is, Katie Levick. Welcome to the pod.
Hello. I've never been called a little gem before. I'll take that.
Queen of banter. Have you been called that before?
Yeah, but by myself, so that doesn't really count.
She's the queen of many things. Queen of Yorkshire, queen of banter, queen of leg spin, queen of the domestic game.
This
I could podcast, keep going.
Lev.
Is in conjunction with the PCA. And how long have you been a PCA rep for?
I think this is my third year. I've only been pro for 3 years and I took over immediately because Phoebe G says, do you want to be rep? They go and play golf in Spain. So I was like, you know what? I don't play golf, but yeah, I'm in. And then, you know, I've stayed around for the other things, but yeah, they got me in with golf in Spain.
That would have got me in, to be fair. What about you, Brooksy?
I'm not a massive golfer, to be honest, but if it means going to Spain for a couple of days, then yeah, I'm all over it. I've never done those trips. I've done other trips, but not that one.
She needs a bit of rest and a bit of golf now because she's just fresh from a bloody game.
I know.
How are you feeling, mate? A big win for the Diamonds, 2 out of 2. How's it feeling? How's the body?
It feels like day five of a 5-day game. I'm not used to this. We're playing Saturday, we're playing Wednesday, we're playing Saturday again. So I think as long as I never stop moving, so I might have to start wandering around on this podcast, but I think I'll be fine. But yeah, a bit hectic week.
Hot bath tonight, cup of cocoa, you'll be all right.
Yeah, recover well. Recover well, girly.
Just get the naproxen. My liver's cooked.
And now you're pickling it.
Yeah, fact. Yeah, it feels like you lot are playing with fire in your bellies. It's been bloody great to watch so far. And Holly got a ton today. I think it was only a third. But she looks in good nick at the minute, and obviously got that little England call up recently. So that was fantastic to see another Northerner in there, because, you know, I'll tell you my county 11 later, but I tried not to be biased and stuff it full of Yorkshire lasses, but it might have ended up happening. And good
Stick
old
to
Abby
what you
Glenn.
Know.
Abby Glenn, 50-3 for Phoebe, 30-odd and 3 for, I think, and then you got a bloody key wicket in Luffy, the wall. The wall.
She
is the actual wall. You like her, don't you, Jack?
Well, I worked with Storm winter before last, so that I feel like they're my not original team in a way, because I got to know a lot of them really well. And you've turned them over, but they've got a lot of young players. They're a young developing team, aren't they?
No excuse.
They are. They seem to be a bit more sprightly, but yeah, it was brutal today down the order. I thought we were going to royally muck it up in Close, true historical Yorkshire fashion when Holly held it together, and then just about clung on in the Baltic conditions at Headingley.
Fantastic. Where's your next game on Saturday?
It's just a little trip to Southampton, so just that's going to be one. It's going to be fun. Can't wait. Because what I want right now is to get on a train for 7 hours.
Well, you're in form. 2 from 2.
Yeah, it's a great start to the season. I mean, Brunty mentioned it earlier. There's a fire in his belly, I think. Had a point to prove. It could either unite or divide us, so we're going with unite.
Yeah, so fire in the belly. Can you give any little insights on why there is fire in your belly? I mean, the last week must have been emotional for many. You must have gone through a few different emotions. Obviously, our listeners found out last week about how this new tier one thing has worked. Brunty explained it quite well. How did you find out how did the girls find out exactly what happened with in terms of the team will be Durham going forward?
I think that's the main controversial point this week, is that we found out via the press leak. So, you know, we were supposed to get told on Thursday is the official word, and then Wednesday we were screenshotting the Telegraph headlines to each other. So that was the main. It was a really tough week. Like, there's no way around it. Like, it's been the biggest mind blown thing, and the fact that we managed to get on the pitch a few days afterwards was, I think, testament to us all, because it's such a weird place to have been in. Like, you just don't really expect it in professional sport. Like, obviously, there's a lot of upheaval, and it's usually through personal choice. For a squad of 18 of you to find out that your team doesn't essentially exist anymore was a tough week to then prepare for the first game of the season.
It is genuinely, I mean, you might not want to go into too much detail for obvious reasons, and you're living it in day in, day out, and it must be honestly so tough. I mean, me and Brunty can probably talk more about it in a way of how it would affect us, but you're effectively being told if you want to carry on playing, you've got to move house or have a hell of a commute every day.
Will you have just a 4-hour round trip, please, love? That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
And where do you live, Liv?
I'm in Leeds, yeah. So I pretty much moved here to continue playing for Yorkshire to make that easier. So, yeah, it is
life-changing, isn't it? And it's actually...
Absolutely.
I mean, how many of the girls live or from Durham or play would be a Durham girl out of the squad?
I think officially there's two. Lizzie Scott is a native born and bred Durham girl, Jess Wolston, but pretty much no one's laughing, but we were one of the regions where we had a base at Headingley, and we were able to quite, a lot of us gravitate towards there and move our lives there. And then, so that's one of the things that's quite difficult to take now, mm. is that we're getting upheaved. It's new through no fault of Durham's, like there's absolutely nothing wrong with Durham, and like it's an exciting prospect for them to have a team for the first time, because I'm all for having more northern teams. I think it's just a shame that it's at the expense of Yorkshire. I'd have personally liked to have seen two in our region. I think we're a massive region, could have had two teams.
Lots of women and girls cricket in the county, lots, and certainly the women's side of it has been fantastic from start to finish. So it was somebody had to put to, you know, not pay, but bear the brunt of this decision.
You.
we would hope that one you guys would be, you know, first pick in 2027. For those extra two that come in.
Yeah, apparently so Yorkshire is going to be one of them, isn't it?
It's got to be Yorkshire and Gloucester, hasn't it? So, and then another two after that, maybe four. I don't know, but they obviously I imagine the what they want from this is for it to be geographical cricket, to be here, all the way up and down and accessible to everyone.
It just hurts for the short term, doesn't it?
Yeah, mate, it's really and it hurts because we're all
I can tell, like you're Yorkshire girls through and through. I'm an outsider for women's cricket, and obviously I lived and played for Yorkshire men. I know how much it means to the region and how much cricket there is up there. It's crazy to think Yorkshire won't have a professional team for another couple of years. To say you'd be surprised would be an understatement, I imagine, Lev.
Yeah, like I said, I thought we knew Durham were putting in a really strong bid. You know, we saw their social media presence, but then equally know the history and the current structure of the women's game in Yorkshire. So I genuinely thought there was a good chance that they could, you know, have some northern dominance once and have two teams in that region. I don't think that would have been unjust. It's just weird. I never thought in my lifetime I'd see women's cricket move away from Yorkshire, essentially, which is what it's doing for the next few years. So that was like the main emotional point, because there's no denying I can't get away with the fact that I played for Yorkshire for over 20 years. So the main, like the first emotional hit that got you was like, oh, my Yorkshire career's over. Like that was sad that it was through no choice. Like careers come to an end all the time, but the fact that it wasn't through your choice felt like that was the real big hit for me and a couple of the girls that have been around Yorkshire all the time. It wasn't that we were begrudged which teams won it. It was just really sad that that's how our time as a Yorkshire player has come into an end.
You just have to be on loan, mate, like the boys do. You're on loan now for a couple of years till it's time to rejoin the mighty Yorkshire again. So obviously you're the Diamonds PCA rep, I believe that's right, isn't it? And then I imagine you've probably worked quite closely with the ECB as a player rep, working on or part of Project Darwin. I imagine there's lots of listeners out there that don't know what Project Darwin is. So would you be able to give us a little tiny insight into what it is and potentially what your role is in that?
Yeah, so Project Darwin was created as like an advisory group to restructure the women's game to see where it should go from the regional setup it's currently in. That regional setup was brilliant for the period it got set up, and it was probably exactly what was needed at the right time. But they want to see growth now in terms of fan bases and financials, you know, being able to sustain themselves basically. And so it was an advisory group made up of coaches, a couple of players, CEOs, directors of cricket, to just see where we thought that the women's game should go. And the ECB like pitched their ideas to us, and it was regular meetings and open forums just to basically get opinions from all aspects of the game about where the women's game should go next. And then that's what the tier structure was advised at the end of the advisory group.
And how's that like communication gone between like PCA, ECB, yourself? Like, because I know I've felt like ripping my own head off at times throughout the last 20 years. Like, it honestly, it's hard to not just go off on a huge rant and bitch about this topic because of how, but I'm glad I've been a part of getting it to this stage. But has that communication been good? Because that's for me always been a bit of an issue.
Yeah, I think I've pretty much grown up in the same era as you, and I'm the same. I was amazed I got the call to be on the group because I thought, oh, like, are you sure?
What have they done?
Yeah. Luckily, they can mute me whenever they wanted in the meetings. But it was like the first time I felt like it was great that we actually had a seat at the table and we were being valued and they were asking the opinion of the players at every stage. And so I was really complimentary of that. And I thought that was such a brilliant step forward, I think, which made the way that the news got told to us last week hurt all the more, because to then have it leaked, it felt like we'd put player welfare at the top, at the forefront all throughout the advisory group of Darwin. And then we sort of got forgotten again as players in the last week. So that's been a bit of the disappointment bit.
Yeah.
It's weird how the women's setup has worked over the years. We could just have a Brunty rant pod, couldn't we, as an emergency one, or maybe an extra this week, just a massive rant.
No. That'll be like playing cricket with you again, stood at mid off listening to you rant.
Women's
best times of my life, that.
So I don't know, you two obviously know way more of this. My understanding of it is, was there no funding from the county? So the ECB basically structured like the six or eight franchises, whatever it was. And then the county sort of wanted to get back involved again, but they all had to basically bid to have a team. Is that how it's worked out?
I don't know how it initially got decided, the restructure to go into regions. I think it was just because the quality of cricket across the board had become so far spread out in the county system. The women's game mirrored the men's, so there was, you know, 20 plus counties. We didn't have the strength and depth, the funding or anything to make that a good quality product. So then the England team and international players were just becoming far and above everyone else. So it got restructured and we got put into regions to try and, you know, like localize talent and, you know, really just focus on a smaller pool of players. It was mostly funded by the ECB, as far as I'm aware. Regions were able to put in their own funding. You could see that with, like, at the Diamonds, we funded extra contracts. I know Thunder, Lancashire funded extra contracts and stuff like that. So the teams that started to maybe pull away were the ones that were putting their own funding in. But Darwin then wanted to realign us with a team. A county to, I think the 100 really was the driving factor behind that, seeing how successful and popular it was to have men's women's one brand, you know, one team, one dream. So they wanted to try and follow that structure.
Yeah, I was all for that. That was like one of the best things to be a part of. It was like one of those, I've like had these moments during the last 19 years, whatever, where you go, oh, finally something's happening. And that was one of those. The 100 was like a, oh, thank God. Like, I feel like I'm part of the, like, game properly, and I'm not just the women's team. Like, it shouldn't be the men's team, the women's team. We're one team. Like, we're all playing the sport we love and trying to entertain people. Like, why does it need to be separate? I know, obviously, everything comes down to money, which sucks. But if you invest in something enough, as we all know, you reap the rewards. Like, as you can see, I don't know what the numbers are, but I feel like women's cricket was the highest moving sport, I reckon, in an upward fashion, both like numbers wise and money wise. So it's we've proved that we're worth investing in, and Project Darwin obviously going to be really important into now pushing that forward as hard and as fast as possible. And getting all you gals paid properly.
Equity. Which is, get that equity right.
Obviously, myself, I was on the advisory group, so I was allowed to feedback to all our group. We had regular calls with Beth Barrett-Wild at the ECB as a whole women's section. You were able to jump on and ask her questions direct. It was a really good lines of communication. You could go directly to the PCA, and the PCA had constant contact. So, again, I think that's why it made last week's decision, or how it was handled, sting even more, because we had been really closely connected and player-centric, and then suddenly it was tabloid press news as these things happen. But it's the first time it sort of happened to the women's game, so it's the first time any of us have really had to deal with that. So that's sort of an eye-opener in the professional sport game. We suddenly got to deal with our business being all over the press necessarily before we know, and then I've got to play a game tomorrow.
It's one of those things where as a player you're like, you find out you're not playing the next day over Instagram. Like, what the
well, I'm not on the team sheet. Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm sat on the coach at the back, like.
have you made a mistake? No. Like, they would have, obviously, that would have been a huge, like panic stations. Shit, quick, let's tell everyone before this gets out. And it's a shame that happened. No idea how something like that happens. I mean, if they'd have offered me 10 grand to blurb it to Telegraph, I probably would have, so.
Yeah, you're worth more than that. It got bank.
Yeah, it weren't me.
It's not just
my account.
It's not just Yorkshire. Obviously, there was the other major talking point from the region county split was the one down at it's gone to Essex, and they're going to be based. Is it the rumours of being based out in Colchester way? And they're not even at Chelmsford, aren't they?
Oh, I've not read that. I've had quite a lot to deal with at my own region, Brooksy. I've not really paid attention to the other ones.
Bloody hell, Jack, have you done some digging or what?
Rumours. It could be complete fabrication or lies, to be honest. But obviously Middlesex, Northampton, Essex are involved in that, and it's not going to be at Lords. Clearly not Northampton. Mm-hmm. They're going to be down in Essex somewhere. So, yeah, it's mad. What do you reckon? So, obviously, very significant changes. And women's cricket going forward is going to look different. Do you think it's going to be a good thing long term, or is it just at the minute you're just like, I don't know where it sits?
No, I am really passionate that it was the right thing to do. I think it needed to be done. Like I said, the 100 showed like there is a blueprint model for this. If one county gets behind two teams, it absolutely works. I think we struggled for the last few years with explaining, like, I'm a Northern Diamonds player, and if even cricket lovers would be like, what is that? And then you'd usually, just for sake, be like, oh, we're the team based Headingley, to try and narrow it down. Because if you said I play for Durham, Northumberland and Yorkshire, even that was like, how would you play for all of that at once? So it needed to be done to streamline it, I think, and to go forward. And it's so exciting. I think I'm probably one of an unfortunate generation that's towards the end of the career where a massive move isn't necessarily as exciting. I mean, if I was like 21 and I got told, you know, you've got to go and live at Newcastle now, I'd be like all over it. I'd be like Geordie Shaw. Like, it's unfortunate I'm 32. But it is so exciting, I think, for the younger ones. You know, the even though these moves are massive, there's going to be funding behind it. So it's not necessarily like before, I used to have to make sacrifices, or do I need to move my job anywhere? Like, hopefully, if, you know, they follow through with the bids, I think that's the next thing. Making sure people are held accountable to what they've put in a bid, because it's all right promising the world if you then just go, actually, there's no budget there anymore, girls, can you buy your kit again? So as long as it's held accountable, I think it's so exciting for the next generation, and hopefully it does keep growing and we have 10 and then 12 counties.
Contracts get risen so that those players can move that 85 miles down the road and be able to buy a house, because you might go from, let's say if you went from playing for Yorkshire to then in somewhere in London, you'd be like, oh, everything costs three times the amount. How do I get a mortgage on a £500,000 one bed studio flat in London? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be made allowances for these kind of moves. So I know, obviously, a really good mate of mine playing with Diamonds is always struggled to buy a house or get a mortgage, because it's just not possible without, you know, a partner or a guarantor. And if you're on one of the lowest contracts, then you're struggling even more. So, yeah, let's hope that that's sorted for this new rejig, and that becomes a bit smoother, a bit easier. Fingers crossed.
I mean, you'd like to think so. That was one of the big recommendations. It was like, we need multi-year deals, because, like you said, you can't get a house or a mortgage or anything without a multi-year deal. And just for job security, and, you know, you're trying to be a high performance sports person. If you're thinking about literally everything off the pitch constantly, you're not going to perform best. If you don't know where your rent's coming from, it's not an ideal situation to then try and fall 10 straight through. Like,
no, you don't want to be a 30 odd year old living like a frigging student, do you? You want to be
it's at Geordie Shaw.
Adulting. Unless it's at Geordie Shaw and you're
21. Cannot wait for that episode of Geordie Shaw when Lev pops up in a nightclub.
With my four VKs between my hands.
Shaking.
Talking
I've got
about
to play at Northampton tomorrow.
Shit.
Talking about potentially leaving in Newcastle or being based up there. I mean, obviously, it's very early days. I don't need to ask you those sort of questions. But what contact have you had with Durham since all this broke? And yeah, well, how helpful, and I'll imagine they are eggshells around you guys, but how's that been?
Yeah, I mean, it's an awkward situation for both counties. It's sort of, we're just literally started our season. We need to try and focus on cricket as much as we can, but equally, you know, like I said, you can't really focus with so much going off the pitch. So Durham have spoken to us just to let us know, like, they're aware of everything that's going off, and they're going to try and leave us until they have solid facts, because even they're in the dark currently about what actually is the next steps. So they just reached out just to basically be like, we're going to try and leave you to focus, and when we have absolute concrete, there is no point providing you more speculation or providing you with what might happen. We're going to sit you all down at appropriate time and talk to you about what the next steps are. They've been good. They've been understanding, because quite a lot of people that work in cricket have come from a cricket background, so they get it. We're there at the moment. Our day job is to try and win some games of cricket, and we're still representing them all as a region. So it's a bit of an elephant in the room, but we try and crack on as much as we can.
Imagine that, you win the trophy this year.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a hell of a send-off. I mean, I'd love it to have Northern Diamonds written on it for the last ever time. We talked about, like, whether no matter who won the bid, we'll never play as Northern Diamonds again, because that's not going to be the structure. So we've talked about having a Diamonds funeral, as our end of season do.
Oh, wow. Who's in the coffin?
I've had a funeral before in the game. Not like someone actually died, but we lost the Ashes, and I don't know. I was saying something about on the group. Obviously, I don't do well with losing, as you know, Levin, especially not the Ashes, and not to an Australian. So it was like, right, I feel so crap. No one wants to go out, but no one likes to go out when you feel really crap or sad. So you made a joke of it, and we were like, right, everybody wear black. So everybody wore black from head to toe, including black hair bubbles, you know, just like black eyeliner, black everything. Many, many strange looks from all the locals in Bristol. And we proceeded to enter the nightclub and had one of the best probable nights my whole life, even though we just lost the Ashes. So I'm down with the the funeral. Hashtag.
You can join.
What's the hashtag, Lev?
Unsure, we haven't got one yet, but we just know we've got a giant flag that we had to have a flag when we went to Lords for the final. So we're going to lead a funeral procession down Otley Road. I'm just going to be like everyone marching behind the flag.
Hashtag down with the funeral.
Oh my God.
I can also be sure you win it. There will be someone in this podcast right now that will turn up with the auction kit on, and she'll be wanting to be part of it, like John Terry, won't she?
Absolutely. Please send me an invite. I'll be there in black.
I'd love you to come and raise the average age of the squad.
Maybe I'll try and, if anybody's listening, I'll try and get a commentary gig on there.
It's a completely biased commentary gig.
No, bring her on. She's rubbish. This has happened to me already last year. So,
but you're allowed to drink through the day, so you get increasingly drunk as the game goes on.
Maybe I could run the drinks on, give you a few bodies. Maybe that would help fire the bellies even more.
Yeah, as long as you put a tab in it, like a tab and a vodka.
It'd be like a what's that? What's the champagne or prosecco with orange? What do you call them?
Fox beers.
Breakfast.
It is Christmas breakfast. I'm not sure it's an everyday breakfast.
It's hashtag delicious. Oh crikey. Right, well, what's your personal aims this season, Lev, with the old Diamonds? Not really bothered about that, are you, mate? Just winning, being queen of banter.
Well, I got asked this on Radio Leeds, and I was with Holly and Loz, and I said I want to get a 50, and they both laughed hysterically. So I feel like now that is the goal. Like, not 50 wickets, I want to get 50 runs. But I didn't specify in one innings, like, so I think it could just be cumulative of the season.
Mate, that could have happened today, couldn't it? There was plenty of time in the game.
Yeah, I'm 3 and out, so I continue that on next game, I presume. I just start on 3, and then I just keep going.
Blame it on Abby. Her
we
fault.
Should have a Lev countdown on this podcast through the weeks. 47 to go.
Yeah.
One last question before we move on to our famous guest stat alert. Obviously, being a PCA podcast, one last question based around the PCA. Now, I'd imagine they've been pretty helpful for you guys, girls, in the last week. How important have they been for you guys, or girls, sorry, in the women's game in general?
It's an area of the game I had no idea existed, obviously, coming from completely amateur. And I don't know if we just lucked out with our PDM, but we've got Jazz, who's just the most amazing guy. Like, he is the easiest bloke to chat to. He makes me feel like $1 million every time I talk to him because he thinks I'm really smart.
Shout out, Jazz.
Yeah, and Jazz is just brilliant. And having him, he'll pick up the phone at any stage of any day. And knowing that they're just fighting for you is so important. I think it's easy for the younger girls not to necessarily understand or know what the PCA do, and so it's so important, like the reps like myself trying feedback, but just knowing that you've got these people that are going to the higher ups in the ECB and stuff and fighting your corner is something I feel like you never experienced in the women's game. You know, like Brunty said at the beginning, like we had different like cricket boards and stuff, and we weren't anything to do with anything. We were sort of like a pirate league that just existed on a Sunday. So just to know that they're fighting for you, I think the PCA are massive, and it's hopefully I'll get to Spain soon.
Yeah, amen.
If I keep giving them big ups, get me to Spain,
mate. If you win this year, I'll make sure Nat pays for that.
Yeah.
Right,
that's
not me. Print.
I'll send that to the group chat later.
Wow.
Just let you all know, girlies.
Can you catch that
against players in the final? Because that'll be awkward for her.
So let's get on to the cricket archive guest stat alert, and that's where the noise comes in.
I pretend I can hear it.
I know, it's just like a pause, and then you look insane. Okay, this stat, I actually really love this one because it's on. Based on like a big rivalry the whole life. Right, Lev, you have taken 6 wickets in an innings twice, both for Yorkshire against Lancashire.
Hey! Play the siren again.
6 for 25 in 2015. And can you name the other one? Come on, you badger. At least get the year.
I've got no clue. It's 2015 ZU1 County Champs, right? And I remember.
Yeah, 6 for 25, 15. And then 6 for 28 in
2022. 2017. I've not done anything since. What have I been doing since?
To be fair, mate, you've probably had about 400 fourfers.
Just,
you know,
lots
what I mean?
Of fourfers and threefers.
Yeah, yeah. Just making sure I don't get that 5 for bonus. Everyone just keeps shelling them.
Was there a 4 for last game, Monday?
Yeah, I got a 4 for under this week. If we're classing Saturday as this week.
Fantastic. Yeah. It was.
Did you hear Brunty before you came in saying that she's run past you a few times?
Yeah, I always used to love following at Brunty because I used to wind her up when I was on the same team as us. So finally playing against her. Like, get on strike now.
Hashtag who hasn't ran past Levick.
Yeah. Right. Literally. The PCA MVP prediction for the women's overall county MVP. Who do you reckon is going to win it? Who's the most likely winner from the Diamond squad, first of all?
From the Diamond squad? I feel like Lozzie's always up there. Holly.
So annoying that batters just get everything. It's hell.
I feel like there's nothing I can do because how am I supposed to get fielding points at third man? Like, it's a flawed
system.
This
is why you're going to get a 50 left and you're going to get those MVP points right up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to put myself in extra cover and elbow Holly out of the way. Get those fielding points as well.
I think that's okay. What she's doing, because obviously Lauren gets the keeping points. So Holly's like, well, where's next best to get a catch? Oh, slip, extra. Right, let's go.
Just plop.
I actually think
we're
on mid off.
Yeah, that's why I try and bowl it so no one else gets to share my points.
No,
you need that extra 10 Gs to get yourself to Spain, mate. Although it's 7,000.
Well, your wife's paying for it, apparently, so it doesn't matter.
She is. I've already signed the contract. Sorry about it.
Yeah.
Who would be your outside bet, Lev, for the main prize across any of the regions?
Outside bet?
Yeah.
Me. I'm an outside bet, I reckon.
Gosh, there we go. Confidence. Love it. So, bigging yourself up. Absolutely love it.
I'm going Holly Armitage.
I don't think she's an outside bet. I think she's got a good chance. I mean, it's easy having watched her get a ton today. But yeah, my only worry with Holly is how great form she's in. She's going to be stolen by England. And that's what usually happens.
That is a good point. And obviously it happens to Best, didn't it, as well. And you never know who it could be whenever. I mean, John Lewis, his style, you never know, do you? So let's see. Right, next
waiting
bit.
To watch me bat, and then he's going to get the call.
And then he'll know.
Left ball. It's left ball.
Everybody stop laughing. It's not funny. It definitely should have happened. You are the most underrated women's cricketer of all time. Should have been in playing for England for a decade alongside me, keeping me fresh and Yorkshire-esque.
Entertained.
Entertained, that's the one. That's exactly what I was hoping for. Right. Under the lids, big question.
Big question.
Is there a siren again?
No, this could be a better soundtrack. Maybe like insomnia.
Some neons.
Yeah.
We're learning on the job here. I don't know if you'd guessed it or not.
I know everybody's probably switched off by now, but, you know, we'll carry on anyway. Basically, and I'm a little bit scared with you because I feel like anything could happen here, but we generally ask, well, we ask our guest every week to come up with something not boring, and you're not boring. And it could be like quirky, bit weird, not too weird, but the weirder the better. Hopefully if it's a good answer, we'll let it sit. If it's not, we might ask, you know, for another one. But so far we've not had to do that. So, so Katie Levick, tell us something we don't know about you.
Oh, so it was actually funny. So we've just had I say it's not funny, I think it's really boring probably, but we've just had a new S&C start for Diamonds, so we keep quizzing him with like random facts about the team, and you have to say, who do you think has done this? And my random fact that no one ever guesses is me, which I think is outrageous, is I've danced at the halftime show of a Sheffield Steelers game. Yeah. And it wasn't a twerk.
Ice hockey side, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I was a child, so it takes the edge off it, but I could still do it now because I'm a really good dancer.
What were your moves?
We just twerk where we are, usually. That's the Yorkshire way.
That's
make
my
out
move.
Back. Yeah, I watched you do it for years.
Most important, though, was it as good as that picture I've seen of Holly when she was a child on stage? Was it as good as that?
Nothing could ever be as good as that video of Holly entering the room in a gold little number. It's not horrendous, and she actually did it this year at the 100 to go onto the pitch through the tunnel, and like it was like an in joke that no one knew apart from us, but she sent it to the group chat and she was going through the tunnel.
Fantastic.
But mine was a more professional routine, but if that's boring, I've got nothing else for you.
Yeah, that's not boring at all. That leads us beautifully into Brunty's favorite round on this podcast. Naff quiz.
Every week, Lev, we obviously would try and make this less naff, and I think it's actually getting less and less naff. There's a prize to be won for whoever scores the most runs, and there's a run awarded for every correct answer. I believe you get 60 seconds. I love how I'm just like trying to remember my own game. It's not mine, really. You know what I mean? So runs, I think, what are we on so far? We've got, what's the leaderboard? I think we've got
Charlie Dean, 7.
Charlie Dean.
Sam Cook, mm-hmm. 6. Ben Duckett, 4.
And then Katie Levick, I'm hoping for about 8. I'm hoping you're a right old badger.
Are all the questions about you? Is this what the quiz is?
No, because then you get them all right. They're mainly about you, but there'll be a few half volleys thrown in there for you to just like sprinkle some
Ping
salt
on
with your, yeah, there we go. So I'm gonna count you in.
Is there a thing for this one I can dance to?
There's music played throughout. Right, I'm gonna count us in. Katie Levick,
I'm gonna dance throughout.
It's the last round. 3, 2, 1, go.
Question 1. At what ground do the Diamonds play the Vipers this week?
At Aegeus Bowl.
Yes. How many grounds did Diamonds play home games at in 2023?
5.
Correct. What is your bowling average in the Charlotte Edwards Cup? Correct within 1.
Like -4.
It's very close, but it's 11.7. What are your best figures in the professional game?
In the professional game? 5 foot 12.
Ooh,
oh,
so close.
15.
Who was your first wicket of the 2024 season?
Threlkes, Ellie Threlkeld.
Yes.
Correct. What snack brand is on the front of Birmingham Phoenix shirt?
Butterkissed.
Correct. Approximately how many miles under Earth do diamonds form?
Under extreme pressure, 5,000.
No, 100. How many tweets have you posted in your lifetime?
Oh my god. That's still live. About 12,000.
19,000. What the?
I've got another one.
I think I've done about five.
Mine was usually saying, when are we going to take Brunty off? She's getting absolutely panned.
Do you know what? It's probably true. She probably has done that.
I used to run the Yorkshire Women's account as well, so I added them to it.
Yeah, to be fair, if you add that in, maybe about 60,000.
You got 4 from my maths, which puts you into joint third with Ben Duckett.
I feel like you didn't even ask him 7 questions for me to possibly win this game. It was a flawed game.
Where did we get to there? The 19,000 was number 8. I feel there are some hard ones, like the average thing. That's just a horrific question, isn't it? And then
it's not about the stats. It's for the love of the game. Come on.
Do you know the name of Yorkshire's mascot?
Vinny.
Yeah, correct. We can say goodbye to you now, but not before a huge, huge thank you for coming on, not only because you had a game today, but because you had some big news lately and it's a bit of a touchy one. But thanks so much for the insight, your heartfelt answers, and good luck for the rest of the season. I'm sure I'll see you on the circuit.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'll see you at the funeral.
What a beauty she is, isn't she?
Oh, she's great. She makes, I forgot how much she makes me laugh.
She's like,
honestly, if you ever 50 other games, well, we never had 4 games, but 50 other games, whenever you were bored around the 34 over mark, Lev brought the banter. She made it easy. Loved it.
She is a beauty. A lot of time for her.
She is a beauty.
The chat and the answers she gave, where she didn't have to get too insightful, were pretty useful to know that.
Yeah, she doesn't give off that she's got the knowledge, but she certainly does. She's the diamonds are definitely good, in a good position having her as a rep. Like, she's quite
100%.
She can say things when it needs to be said, so she's a good
100%.
Gal.
100%. Can you give us a little sum up of the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy this week?
Yes, we're going to do this bit real fast because it, you know, we don't want to switch anyone off in case this is not their favourite part of the show. So, Stars v Sparks. The Stars have had a fantastic start to the season and they've obviously got a couple of people there scoring some big runs at the top of the order, which always helps, especially in early April. So, Sparks have, Central Sparks, they've got they've always sort of like
a good team, aren't they? I was with them this winter, I've mentioned before.
They are
a talented squad, but just underachieved, I believe.
Yeah, they just don't seem to put it together, I feel like. There's some great individual talent there, but like regular contributions sort of thing.
They lost today.
Like what the Diamonds do. Yeah, they did. Sunrisers v Blaze. Blaze win. Absolutely terrible position today, weren't they? Was it like 49-8 or something? I was just like, Nat was following, obviously, because that's her team, and just shaking her head. And I think she got a text message from the captain, actually, Kirsty Gordon, saying, anytime you want to whack the whites back on, mate, feel free.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Sunrisers aren't one of the stronger teams normally either, are they?
No, unfortunately not. It's just how it works, isn't it? Sometimes you end up with some really fortunate, strong teams. Like the Vipers, they've got stacks and stacks of England players, but that does hurt them when it comes round to England duty time. So, and then, obviously, Thunder v Storm, Vipers v Diamonds, as Lev already told us. So, some good games to look forward to next week, or this Perfect. Week, should I say.
Perfect. Moving into the men's county champ, Div 1. Durham, who won the game this week. One of the only couple of teams who actually got a victory because of the weather this week. Are at home to Essex, which would be huge because Essex, they've won two games so far. So that's a huge game. Surrey, who are flying after winning this week, are at home to Hampshire. Warwickshire should be Notts. Warwickshire have drawn a few games this year. Notts had an unbelievable result against Somerset in the end. They were staring down the barrel before Joe Clark and Will Young came together. And then Worcester Somerset. Somerset should make the short trip over to New Road. Should be a belting game as well. And then in Div 2, Gloucester v Middlesex. Gloucester lost to Sussex this week, so they'll be looking to bounce back. Leicester v Northants. And Yorkshire v Derbyshire in a local. Not too much of a derby game, is it? But it's always a tasty game from memory when I used to play in them. Yorkshire's record against Derby was never the best either.
Where's that one at, Yorkshire Derby?
It's at Headingley, I guess. It wouldn't be at Scarborough, I wouldn't have thought. And also a big shout out to Freddie Flintoff's two sons, Rocky and Corey. Rocky, who's the younger at 16, became the third youngest player to hit a ton in a second 11 championship match at the age of 16 years, 16 days old.
That was all over Instagram.
And he absolutely belted
today.
He looks just like his dad as well. He moves like him.
Doesn't he?
Runs like him, whacks it like him. And Corey, his other son, is pretty similar as well. So you've potentially got two more superstars there in the making, which is fantastic. So well done, Rocky. We're watching out for you as your career develops. Listener feedback this week. We have had some feedback. And it's none of it's for me directly, but I'm going to get involved in some of it. Go Well Ender on X, what used to be Twitter, has asked, who would be your county championship 11 with no England central contract players or overseas players included? Now, I've put together a men's team. Brunty's put together a ladies' side. I've also included the fact that none of my players have played for England already, so it's like a potential future England team. I'm only going on form this season so far as well. But my team will be Rob Yates, left-handed opening batter, who'll also be a part-time off-spinner. He got 4 wickets this week for Warwickshire. Alex Davis has started like a train. He's scored 190-odd and a double 100 this year already. And he goes in the pair of Warwickshire openers. Sam Northeast, number 3, got a treble 100. No biggie. Been a gun player for so long. Joe Clark will be my wicketkeeper, batting 4. He's got a double 100 this week. Class player. Number 5, Kashif Ali. Had a good start for the year. Didn't play this week because he's had a bit of a back niggle. A gym injury, I believe.
Probably from scoring loads of runs.
So, he's been carrying Worcester's batting. certainly someone to look out for. Number 6, Matt Critchley. Essex leg spinning all-rounder. Provides a spin option. Very exciting cricketer to watch. My number 7 would be pitch dependent, depending on spin or seam. Lyndon James, the Notts all-rounder, who's a young all-rounder, bowls good seam, proper batter as well. And Cam Steele, who's had a fantastic start to the year. He's the leading wicket taker in the championship in April and May, and he's a leg spinner. And he's taken over 20 wickets already, I believe. I think also he was born in America, raised in Australia. So he'd bring a lot of cultural difference to the team. And my 4 seamers, and also all-rounders, I would call them. Ed Barnard of Warwickshire, just class and an unbelievable fielder. Tom Laws, he's only been around a couple of years, but he's been fantastic at Surrey in the last couple of years. And he's certainly one to look out for, a future England player. Casey Aldridge, my former teammate at Somerset. He's going to be a gun. He's just a gun all-rounder. Bowls quite quickly as well. And then bringing up the rear, our guest from a couple of weeks ago, Sam Cook, who is just incredible. Oh, yeah. He averages about 7 with the ball this year already. Doesn't matter what's in his hand, Kookaburra, Duke, he just gets wickets. So that is my team, and that is a pretty useful side as well, I think.
Yeah, and a very thorough explanation, I might add. Mine will be less thorough, just so I can fire this one out. I'm just going to fire it through from in batting order. No captains. right, I'm ready. Georgia Adams, Lauren Winfield, Bryony Smith, Grace Scrivens, because she's a lefty, Holly Armitage, Bess Heath, Maddie Villiers, Rhiannon, McDonald Gay, Emily Arlett, Kirsty Gordon, and my old mate Katie Levy. She'll be fuming that she's buying 11, but sorry, mate. It's stacked, isn't it? You've got so many MVPs there. Like, these girls really do rack up the runs, and a sport for choice, obviously. But there's a lot of people that could make that next step, but already firing this season. A couple of hundreds in that list as well, and a couple of, there's a fifer from McDonald Gay today.
I was going to say, I saw that she'd taken loads of wickets, and Em Arlott, beautifully. She's just an exciting cricketer, isn't she?
She is, isn't she? I hope that it all works out for her one day. It'd be great to have her on this pod. But I met her when she was like 15, 16, and me and myself and Nat could see the potential in her then. So I hope she has a great season.
Amen. Amen. Next question from Arsh. Yeah. Do you want to run us through it?
Yeah, she says, I met her at the IPL, the women's IPL.
Cool.
Lovely lady, follows Mumbai mainly. She had her fingers crossed during the semi-final and ended up with a finger injury because she had them crossed the whole game. She just said, it was lovely to meet you in Delhi. Congratulations on that, winning the Wisden Award. We won't ask her a question because we've actually covered it in the podcast already, but just wanted to give her a little shout out.
That's lovely. Hashtag show us Healy's pair. We're in contact with Cricket Australia. Hashtag get Brunty skipped. What campaign that is underway as well. We are doing everything we can on this Under the Lid podcast.
Imagine if I do get a lifetime supply of some form of crisps.
We're just going to have to keep pesting skips on social media. Get people to keep pesting them.
I know. Well, we've had a right old pod there, haven't we? Like,
we smashed it. A lot of highbrow conversation, which is unusual for us.
Yeah. Plenty of banter. Plenty of insight under the lid with Katie Levick. And as always, we'd love your feedback. The more questions, the better. Just keep them coming, like, any way, any
more. How do you like it? How do you like it?
And as always, hashtag under the lid or email at and I like it when you do it.
Hello, underthelid.co.uk.
Lovely.
Right, that's four episodes down. We've made it to four. I think we've got a review, an appraisal, so we may not be here at week five, but we do have a guest lined up for next week already, which is exciting, and we are super organised for once. What do you have in store this week, Brunty, before you shoot off?
I'm down in London with the Lord's Taverners tomorrow night. Lovely dinner, have a free meal tomorrow. Enjoy a bit of champagne. Then heading back home, got me good old mate Beth Langston, ex-England player, coming to visit for the weekend. And Amy Jones is back from her jollies. So we're going to have the mates around this weekend. A couple of beers before they get back into the county season. These England players don't get much rest, do they? So
more partying with Brunty.
Yeah, nice. What about yourself, Jack?
I am finishing this soccer game tomorrow, and then Friday is quieter day, I believe, and then Saturday a bit of family time, Sunday playing, so I could get myself up on the weekend for a couple of back-to-back 2020s for Oxfordshire against Shropshire at Wormsley. If anyone's in the region and wants to come down and watch me get pumped, then feel free, up the Ox, and then we're into next week, so yeah, a bit more coaching.
Lovely.
Well, everybody, thanks. Listen, subscribe, send us some emails, send us some social media feedback, anything. Just send us something. And we'll see you next week with another special guest.
Yes, can't wait. Number five, let's go.
See ya.